Now we're going to talk about energy. Well, you got up this morning, you switched on the lights, you made the breakfast, you got dressed, you perhaps drove to work or school, and all of these activities have in common that you used energy. And as an island, we are now importing 89% of our energy supply, most of which is coming from oil and gas. However, there is a growing consensus that we all need to move away from fossil fuels and towards renewable energy, but that's a lot easier said than done. For more on this now, I am joined by a geologist, Professor Ian Stewart, who's in Dublin today to attend a screening of a film called Switch and a debate around future energy. Professor Ian Stewart, thank you very much indeed for coming into studio.
Good morning.
I thought it was a sensational film. I was watching it last night. I mean, it raises so many questions about the future of energy globally. But the thing I thought was most fascinating at the beginning was just how difficult it's going to be to replace oil and coal. They are fantastic sources of energy.
It's very depressing in that sense. I mean, we are addicted to the stuff, and it's not just energy. You know, heat, for example, most of our you know, heat comes from gas, central heating, certainly in the UK, but also, you know, the plastics, fertilizers, you know, you just name it, and it's petroleum products. So getting off of fossil fuels, getting off of high carbon and going to a low carbon future is an enormous challenge.
The other thing that was very much pointed out in the film is that when you think of petrol, we think of it quite negatively. We think of the emissions, and certainly the emissions crisis we've had with diesel cars. But the petrol, you can put a small enough volume of it into a tank of a car. You can drive a 2-ton vehicle filled with four people for 400 miles. You don't have to go near it for any of that period. And when it runs out, you simply fill it up again. There's no ash, there's no residue.
It's extraordinary component. And, you know, hydrocarbons are anyway. They're these magical combination of chemicals. And there is a kind of irony that we're burning it. I mean, there's this fantastic resource base that the chemists use, and we set fire to it and propel our vehicles. There is something slightly odd about that. We're essentially doing something we were doing 100 years ago. But it is incredibly energy efficient in the sense of very few other things drive it in the way literally that it does. So we can look at biofuels and all the rest, but there's issues there. But it's trying to find these replacements that actually do the job that oil and gas does.
And even within that film Switch, the people who were at the cutting edge of that research, each and every one of them said, this can only ever be part of a solution. There
exactly.
is no easy solution to
this. I find
that,
you know, I do lots of stuff talking about energy to the public, and I find what happens is that people have got their favourite energy. You know, they'll say to you, I tell you what it is, it's solar. Or it's
tidal. That'll solve all our problems.
Yeah, if only, no, I don't like nuclear. Tidal's what we should do. Geothermal, what about you? And we need the whole bunch. And we need a whole bunch, some of which in that portfolio people will like. And actually, some of them people won't like. You know, and I think it's that realisation that there's going to be this mixed energy portfolio. But more importantly, I think we need a strategy that says, right, we now are addicted to this fossil fuel stuff. It's not good for us. We know that. And we know that we all want to get to this low carbon future. Now, how do we do it? And the kind of easy trite way is that, well, let's get off of fossil fuels. But we're so addicted, we can't just do that. So we need a strategy that weans us off of it gradually, brings some of these new ones on. And the trouble is, of course, as we know, that many of the new ones, you know, the wind, for example, almost generates as much dissent and objection as fossil fuels. And so, again, people kind of like their energy far away from them. They don't want to see it getting generated. So when you bring it into under the noses, they don't like it, you know, generally.
So it's a real sea change in our thinking that needs to be done.
There's three things, isn't there? I mean, I think we all know it. It's a very boring conversation because we know kind of what it is. We need to be better consumers of energy, use less, basically. We need to be more efficient, you know, in terms of the way we heat our homes and things like that. And we need to find a wider range of sources. And that won't surprise any of your listeners. We hear it all the time. But that is kind of how it is.
And another issue that arose in that film is with our dependence, as you say, on fossil fuels, like that's not going away anytime soon. But the new technology would be looking at ways to mop up some of the pollution from that. Carbon sequestration, there's a lot of research going on into that. Where are we at in terms of
carbon sequestration? So carbon capture storage, which is when you grab the CO2, connect the power stations and you permanently store it somewhere, underground usually, in terms of... that is something that... That is somewhere where the technology is already here. So the oil and gas industry have been, essentially reversing what they do. Rather than getting it out, it's putting it kind of back in the ground. So the technology is there. I think the thing is, there's lack of a carbon price means that it's not much incentive. And to be honest, the other thing is, environmentally, it doesn't get people all kind of worked up, you know.
Somebody raised the issue that it's incredibly expensive, that technology, to use in any meaningful way. Like, it's grand to use it at a power station where it's all nice and local, but if we were to implement it in our everyday lives, and particularly the issue of the developing world, one person was saying 600 million people in India don't even have electricity. And over the next number of years, we're
this is another favourite one of people who said, oh, it's the trouble with people, too many people, you know, that's what it is. And it is only in the sense of those people as consumers of energy. So we consume in the West and America huge amounts of energy relative to people in Indonesia or India. But what's happening in those places is that the people are moving from the bicycle to the moped, to the bike, to the small car. And the middle income India particularly is going to be moving to the larger car. They're following our trajectory. So really this idea is, you know, we need to get into this mixed portfolio if we give people options. If you look at India, actually India's mainly got one option, and that is coal. And coal is a terrible energy. And you'd think solar, you know, but they don't have the time or the money to invest it. So one of the things we need to be doing is developing the new technologies in the West, where we've had our wealth from fossil fuels, and moving that stuff across to the emerging companies.
So we do the science for them, if you like.
We have to. Ethically, morally, we've got rich on this stuff, and we can't turn around to these countries and say you can't have it. And they've really got oil and gas, fossil fuels, oil and gas and coal. And so trying to convince them not to go down our road is a difficult moral and ethical one.
There was an example of that actually in the film, in that Denmark has done decades of research around wind energy and has come up with the turbines. I mean, listen, they're very divisive around Ireland, but the windmills work, they're efficient.
Yeah. I mean, different countries will take, that's the other thing, is it, each country will have its own solution. I mean, if you look at Norway, for instance, Norway gets 90% of its energy from hydro. People think, oh, it's lovely. It's also one of the world's biggest fossil fuel producers. But they're also investing in new types of nuclear, thorium, for example. So I think we should move to a situation where a country is self-sufficient in its energy and it looks to its own makeup and decides how it should be. It doesn't need to take its cues from any other country and say, we need that. And so Ireland, one of the things is looking around and saying, how do we want our energy future to be? We want Irish energy. I think it should be homegrown to a large extent. You said 90%.
And we're 89%
extraordinary
import energy now.
Yeah.
So what are our options from your expertise?
Fortunately, I was going to say, oil and gas is still going to be one. There's the Corrib project comes on, and that'll change. That'll increase the amount of gas that's around.
But I mean, after the experience of the Corrib project, can you see any more gas projects coming on stream in Ireland?
Well, that's hugely contentious, and I think the oil and gas will say, "Oh, we've learned lots from it." That's, you know, that'll be up to be seen. I mean, one of the things in the centre, the ICRAG, the Centre for Applied Research and Applied Geosciences, is trying to look at public communication. How do we get communities on site to talk about energy, not to kind of convince them of a certain thing, but to have that discussion about what energy they need? So we need to talk to the public more and better. And as geoscientists, as experts, we've been really rubbish at that, to be honest.
And that came out time and time again in that documentary. I'd really recommend it to people. It was really expanding in your thinking. But just to go back to the issue of Ireland, you're talking oil and gas is something that we will continue to be dependent on. But what about tidal energy, wind energy, solar? I don't know if we much... chance of that here?
Wind is the one that's the furthest on, particularly, you know, the offshore realm, and it can definitely work. But, people have to get past the aesthetics of seeing the landscape, you know, the beauty of the windmills. And tidal is a very effective one, but often you go, you know, there's a tidal scheme in the UK in Swansea Bay, and there's as many objectors as there are supporters. So,
what are the objections with tidal?
Well, interference with local, fisheries and things like that. The other thing is, for example, one of the ironies is that it's requiring new quarries to be opened up to produce the building stone to build the tidal thing, and people are not wanting new quarries to be opened up because of it. I mean, this is a messy business.
We haven't even spoken about the controversy around fracking. I mean,
fracking
that is
or nuclear. The point is that, you know, fracking is another one where, you know, these are all little energy sources that we're having to think about because actually we're consuming too much energy.
And of course, fracking is quite an extreme technology to release more hydrocarbon fuels, whereas nuclear, I mean, is it time to really re-examine the role of nuclear? I know France uses nuclear power for quite a lot of its energy needs.
I mean, many of the environmental objections or groups have risen up on the basis of, you know, objections to nuclear very early on. So I think it'll be really difficult. But I think there's new things. thorium's an interesting one. Thorium's one where you can't produce the kind of meltdown. You can't produce plutonium products, you know, weapons grade, much more widespread than, say, uranium, for example.
So that's a different nuclear element, thorium, that we haven't used to date.
It is, but it fits into existing kind of reactors, so it can be kind of they can be moved across. But also the other thing is micro reactors, smaller ones scattered around. But of course, the other thing that comes in is, well, you know, what about the waste? What do we do? We still haven't a policy for doing it. So many people would say, let's not go down that road until we sorted out what we're going to do with the waste we've got. I mean, as a communicator, scientist, geoscientist communicator, it's fantastic. There's all this stuff that's very contentious. The bottom line is we need energy and we need to start having a mature discussion of where we get it from. And some of the options are going to be less appealing to others than others.
They're probably one voice in that film. I could come back to the film, but he was saying his predictions for what was going to happen was that developing countries were going to be the big new consumers of energy, as you've already said, yeah. That they would not be able to afford any alternative forms of energy, nor would they be able to capture carbon,
yeah.
That we in the developed world would not be able to afford to fill in the gaps for them, that we will begin to get used to global warming. Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. Yeah, no, it is. Because, I mean, the big players, the China and India particularly, they don't. I mean, China's been doing fantastic stuff on renewables. India less so because it's got less options. But you know, it really depends what's happening with these emerging technologies. One of the things I'd say is the climate change that's happening now. The stuff that's up there is ours. It's not China's and India's. It's the CO2 that we've been putting up through the Industrial Revolution. So literally, that is why we are rich and they're not. So you know, there is this idea of kind of social justice ethics about how we do it that we need to start thinking as a planet, as a global community, about how we're going to deal with this, rather than, you know, let's wait till the Chinese start to, you know, move before we kind of shift over.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So you're going to be at this screening of the documentary Switch tonight. There'll be a debate afterwards, I understand.
Yeah, so we're going to have a discussion. So yeah, Irish Film Institute, I think it's 6:30 or so with iCrag. And yeah, no, it should be fun.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Professor Stewart, for coming in to us this morning and the best of luck this evening. That's
thank
Switch
you.
In the IFI at 6:30.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.